What time is it? It's 8 o'clock? No, it's 7:22. And what is today?
Big Easter.
Big Easter. Go ahead, say it with a little, excitement there. What is today?
Big Easter.
And some of you are in the pews going, it's a look that is, you are a bit perplexed as to what is going on. You know Easter and the noise and everything like that, but perplexed is the word of the day. Perplexed. It's fun to say, too, because you get to say twice. Say it. Go, perplexed. Go ahead, say it. Perplexed. It's just kind of fun to say. If you were here for Maundy Thursday, I said psalmist, and I sounded all high and holy and pastory and everything. And so that, is a pastory kind of word, psalmist. But perplexed is just fun to say. Say it again. Perplexed. Perplexed. It's hard to say perplexed in a pastoral way. Perplexed. I guess you can, but it's more fun to say perplexed. Just sort of, with your eyes open. Perplexed. But when you're perplexed, you don't have your eyes wide open. They're more with the head kind of cocked and confused or befuddled. When I was younger, a lot younger, I had a book. I think my sister actually had the book and I borrowed it, but it was called Perplexing Puzzles and Tantalizing Teasers. Anyone ever seen that book? Perplexing Puzzles and Tantalizing Teasers. And I don't remember specific puzzles from that book, although I think you can still get it, at least used copies of it. But let me give you the flavor of the kind of perplexing situations that came from that book. It was more math-oriented, but there were some other things that were just tantalizing teasers. Okay, ready? Here's the perplexing puzzle or the tantalizing teaser of the day. Two mothers and two daughters have dinner at a restaurant. Each one decides to order dessert first. When the server brings the desserts, they have just three with them. The two mothers and the two daughters take their desserts and enjoy them immensely, each person neither having to share nor feeling as if they did not get what they ordered. How can this be? Huh? You can say it out loud. How can this be? Ah, see, you're so smart. You know this. Yeah, there's the grandmother, the mother, and the daughter. Two mothers and two daughters. How many of you got it right away? How many of you still don't get it? Really, you don't get it still? Or are you just messing with me? See, if you have, I'll explain it. So if you have a grandmother, is a grandmother and a mother, so she's one of the two mothers. You have a mother who is a mother, so that's two mothers. And then you have a mother who's also a daughter, so she's one of the daughters. And you have a daughter who's also a daughter. So there's two daughters and two mothers, three people. Got it? Well, I guess they are three daughters because the grandmother, but the grandmother is the daughter of someone who's not there. So this is the mother of someone who's there and the mother of someone who's there and the daughter of someone who's there and the daughter of someone who's there. And perplexing puzzles, tantalizing teasers, and smart Alex is, I can't call that, the book had it going on there. Perplexing situations. Okay, maybe they make you laugh, but really they're supposed to make you think, right? They leave you confused often. Are you still confused, Drew? Just good, okay. In many ways, they're not meant to be understood fully, at least not right away. Maybe not ever. I mean, a perplexing situation often is just you never understand it. See, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and some other women who came to Jesus' tomb on the first day of the week, early in the morning, to anoint his body with spices, were perplexed at what they found. The stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. Right? It says, while they were perplexed about this. Perplexed, though, turned from, perplexed is just sort of the head cocked and I don't understand this. They're perplexed, turned into terror when these two glowy dudes appeared. Things turned back to perplexed when the glowy dudes said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. And then Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women remembered that Jesus had told them that he would rise again on the third day. Perplexed gave way to joy and a need to tell the disciples. Perplexed starts it off. So, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women. Do you remember the women's names in this story? You got who? Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and then the other women. You got who? Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women went back to where the disciples were and told them what had happened. And the disciples were perplexed? No, they weren't. The disciples were jerks. Listen, to them, what Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James and the other women were saying was just an idle tale. They didn't believe the women. It says so right in the Bible verses there. To them it seemed an idle tale. Men. Not even wondering if it could be true. Not even hoping that it could be true. Not a bit of possible affirmation about what the women saw. The story says, to them it seemed an idle tale. Not, they heard this and they were amazed and wanted to know more. Or they heard this and asked questions. Really, what did you see? What was it like? How did the stone get rolled away? No, nothing like that. It's, to them it seemed an idle tale. That means the disciples went and looked like, right. Okay, yeah, okay. I don't know what you're dreaming. It's early in the morning, but no. Although Peter was a little better than that. Simply brush off what the women said. He ran to the tomb to see for himself. It doesn't say he said, wow, this is amazing. Can you take me there? Wow, this is amazing. I really want to see more. Wow, I'm perplexed. I've got to find out more. He just ran. It's like, and then he ran. It would have been nicer had he asked, could you take me there? He knew the way, but I mean, they were the ones sharing the news. Isn't it at least polite when somebody shares news, even if it's news that you can't fathom, that you ask questions or ask more questions or wonder about it and affirm at least the fact that they're telling you something that is amazing instead of just, pew, I got to go see for myself because I don't believe this idle tale. And Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women told the story that was dismissed as an idle tale, that was disbelieved by Peter until he ran and saw for himself. But because Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women came back after they saw what they saw and started telling the story, we are here today, and it's Easter. And we're celebrating Jesus' resurrection. Somebody had to find the empty tomb, right? Because if nobody found the empty tomb, then the story doesn't continue. It doesn't matter. Jesus died, and we've got lots of stories of healing to tell, but the resurrection doesn't matter. The women went to the tomb. They told the story. And then more people told the story. But you know, with the story that the women told to the disciples that we still tell today, there might be questions. Some people say that Jesus' body was stolen and that he really didn't rise from the grave. Is that true? People ask that question. The story of that was started right at the time of the resurrection and it persists to this day. Some people say that the people who saw Jesus after the resurrection saw a ghost and not a real person. Is that true? How could that be? Some people say that Jesus' resurrection was made up years later after he had died so that people wouldn't forget about him and that so Christianity could grow. And who would do that? You know what? These three questions, they persist. The question, Jesus' body was stolen? Wasn't it stolen? It was a ghost that they saw, right? They made this all up later so that Christianity wouldn't die out, right? They're all good questions about Easter. And they're even worth talking about. We can't just dismiss questions because they're uncomfortable and because we're like, oh no, that attacks my faith. It's okay to ask questions. God isn't against questions. God loves conversations. And questions like that, especially the kind that have question marks at the end instead of statements. Was anybody asleep? You aren't anymore, right? You know, statements like, the Bible says it, that settles it. Oh, wait. The Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Has a period at the end, and there's no room for any conversation. But the questions like, how could it be that Jesus came back to life? I don't understand. That's the beginning of a question. That's the beginning of a conversation. Like Peter could have said, can you show me more? I really don't understand. The women were perplexed, and then they were terrified, and then they were perplexed again, and then they were joyful, and they told the story. And it would have been nice if people had asked more questions. And I'm sure they did later. Look, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus. I believe that he was crucified, died, buried, and on the third day he rose again for real. Not some idle tale. Not something that didn't happen or that all of these other questions that are there are true. But it's okay to ask questions about it. It's okay to wonder. It's okay to be perplexed about the resurrection. And I think we can celebrate, question, defend, and have exciting conversations about the resurrection. Because we can be, and we are, followers of Jesus. We can be, and we are Christians. We can be, and we are people who seek the still speaking God. And if we talk about terms like still speaking God, that means that conversation can still happen. God doesn't mind questions. God loves conversation. We can be, and we are, people who live God's two big rules on big Easter and every other day. Loving God, loving everyone, even though, and perhaps because, we so often are perplexed. Go ahead, say that word again. Perplexed. And let's pray. Thank you, God, for Easter. Thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you that even when and perhaps because we are perplexed, that we follow you, that we have conversations, that we learn, and that we live your rules of loving you and loving everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.